Good morning, Napa Valley. Welcome to All Things Napa. My name is Lee W. Miller. Happy to be here with you this morning. Got a great show lined up for you. And you might be wondering, what is All Things Napa and who's Lee W. Miller? So I am a local realtor who's done a lot in the community. But before that, I was in the corporate world, and I've done everything from the corporate gigs where I climbed to the top of the ladder, so to speak, the coveted corner office, and I was a vice president of sales for Samsung Telecom America. And I left that to pursue startups. And so I learned a lot about business and sales and marketing in both the corporate world and in the tech startup realm, and now I'm an entrepreneur. So my second career is a realtor here in the Napa Valley, and I am I call myself a serial networker. I love connecting people, businesses, and I'm a big advocate for having all of us patronize businesses on a local level. So as a result, I thought, you know, there's an opportunity here for a radio show where you as the listeners might be able to learn something about local businesses that you're not familiar with. And so that's what my show is about. And I've got two great guests in here in studio this morning and look forward to talking to you about that. And they're going to be coming on in just a little bit. But I also like to promote the activities that are here in the Napa Valley and share some things. The couple that I think are just great that I'm really looking forward to is the Blues, Brews, and Barbecue coming up on August 24th. Look for me there. The Safeway Open, I'm really looking forward to that. That's one of the, you know, it's, as you hear on the commercials, voted the most fan-friendly golf tournament in the country. And, of course, my wife's and my favorite, the Napa Valley Film Festival. That is such a great event, and we have an opportunity to see great films well in advance of them being released in the theater, as well as great movies that you probably wouldn't ever find anywhere else, because there's some great artists that are making great films, but they don't necessarily ever make it to the point of distribution. And they might only be streaming, or sometimes maybe they just never get picked up anywhere. And that's really unfortunate, but at least we get to see them at the film festival. So again, my name is Lee W. Miller. I welcome your input on the show. You can reach me at leewmiller@gmail.com. Any suggestions that you have, I welcome those. But keep those suggestions focused on businesses and a local flavor. So some of the best activities going on right now that are so hard to choose which ones we want to go to. Napa City Nights, every Friday night down at the park, is just such a fun event. And that's what I enjoyed last Friday. Then I had my daughter's engagement party on Saturday. That was such a wonderful thing, and you'll hear more about other activities each week when I just share things that I've done, and maybe it make you think, I forgot about the fact that the Silverados are in town, and maybe I should go to a game. So the Napa Silverados had a great game on Sunday as well. So coming up next Saturday, a little plug that I do want to include is the Mexican American Vintners Association is having their event, a big fundraising event. If you are not familiar with that, it's still not too late to get some tickets, and that's going to be a good fundraiser. It's at Vista Colina Saturday at 2 o'clock, and if you just go type in Mexican American Vintners Association, you'll find information about that. And one of my guests today is Bernie Narvaez, and he is familiar with that organization as well. So there's a lot of information about that. And speaking of Bernie, why don't we just bring Bernie on right now?
Good Bernie, morning, Lee.
Welcome.
Good morning, Napa. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So Bernie and I know each other professionally and personally, and I just think that Bernie's got a great story, and I wanted to have him share that with you because he is a local business owner. And so why don't we just jump right into that? Before the heavy stuff begins, not heavy, but, you know, like serious business talk and things of that nature, tell us a little bit about your background and where you currently work and things of that nature.
Of course. So, you know, I came to this country when I was about 5 years old with my family and, you know, grew up in Sonoma and...
Oh, not Napa. You grew up in Sonoma.
No, I grew up in Sonoma, and I met my wife, Gabby, that was born and raised in Napa. So that's that's what led me to Napa initially. Very good reason to move to Napa.
Yeah.
Very, very happy that...
But not at 5 years old.
Not at 5 years old. No, a lot older. Yeah. Once I left my house, I didn't go back to Sonoma.
Okay.
Then I joined the Marines, served there for a while. Then I started the business with my dad once I was done with that. And 11 years later, we're still running our business and trying to give back to the community.
All right. Well, let's talk about, let's back up a little bit because that was a really fast response there. So you grew up in Sonoma, and then when did you end up here in Napa?
In Napa, so let's see, about 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, longer than that. Yeah, okay. No, it was about 11 years ago, actually. So we actually initially moved to American Canyon. We lived there for a little bit, and then I moved to Napa.
Okay. So I know, Bernie, you're very passionate and supportive of veterans, and I know that because I am, and we see each other at veterans-related events. Tell me how that came about for you.
So when I came back and I was done with the Marines, you know, I just left a void in my service, in my call to service. And it did the same with other veterans. So we connected and tried to do just, you know, little social events, get-togethers. We got, you know, go to ranges, we go camping. And from that, it just, I really liked that engagement post-service. And I continued to do that. And then as I did that, I found out the issues that veterans are facing, just from personal interaction, just from doing research. So I just got more and more involved from that.
So what led to you actually joining the Marines?
So I was in high school when 9/11 happened. You know, and as an immigrant, I looked at that and I wanted to get back to this country because we were very fortunate to be here.
So, okay, high school, that was in September. So you were a senior in high school?
No, actually, I had to wait a year because I was a junior.
Oh, okay.
I had to wait. I was actually ready to go at 17. But I decided to wait because I didn't want my parents to sign for me. So I waited a month after I turned 18 to sign.
Okay.
And I had to wait to graduate, and then I went.
So that was very impactful for you, and you decided, I want to serve my country, and made the decision at that point that you were going to be in the Marines, but had to wait, obviously, till you were old enough. And
right.
Okay. All right. Can you talk a little bit more about, I mean, what was going through your mind and your heart that led to that decision? I mean, can you expound on that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I turned on the TV. I at that time I was taking classes, you know, before the regular classes started. So I was an early riser, turn on the news. First time I usually don't turn on the news. Something, you know, told me turn on the news. You have a few minutes to spare. And then I see the what's going on, the chaos is going on. And I, you know, at that time I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was just, you know, a pilot that, you know, had mechanical errors. And when I got to classroom, I heard for the first time terrorist attack.
Wow.
And I was like, what is that? You know, my mind is young. I didn't know about
that. Was a term that we really didn't use much at that stage. So
and you might discuss in high school. I mean, I was a young teenager. So.
Wow. Well, we thank you for your service. I've always, you know, that's almost become cliche, because it's almost like an automatic response, and that I hope you sense the sincerity of me thanking you. I also heard a veteran say one time when he was giving a presentation that when you thank someone for your service, you should also say, and we forgive you for what you had to do over there. What's your opinion of that?
I think the veterans, you know, tried to deal with whatever they saw, whatever they went through differently. With that veteran, you know, saying that makes them feel more comfortable. You know, for me, is just an opportunity to be in a community, to represent the veterans, you know, to just move on without the stigmas.
Right.
You know, this, it's not associated with stigmas with veterans, because you hear veterans or veterans going through some challenges, people would, you know, associate that with PTSD and other things, and mm-hmm. that's not always the case. Even if it is so, it doesn't mean that that person is not a contributing member of our community.
Oh, sure. Right. Ever since I heard that veteran give that presentation, and he said that thank you for your service should be added to with that forgiveness comment, I've always been afraid to say it. So kind of funny that the very first time that I've said it publicly is to you on the air, but I value your opinion of it. And so,
well, Lee, I'll tell you something, that is better than what Vietnam veterans received.
Oh, by
so
far,
we're,
by
we're
far.
Miles, light years ahead of where we used to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so you said something about your business, but you didn't tell us what your business is. And so here's a nice little segue for that. Tell us about what your business is.
So we're an independent family-owned insurance agency.
Okay.
We started in 2008, incorporated in 2007, but opened doors January 2008. And we started in a discount store in front of La Morenita Market. I mean, as a startup, that's all we could get. It was actually a closet that we subleased. And we stuck two desks in there, and my dad basically shoulder to shoulder until we were able to afford a bigger space.
Nice.
You know, so now we have two suites, and we've expanded. And now we offer, specialty auto for drivers that, you know, maybe had some, you know, bad choices in the past, have a few things on their record, right? And then we have the preferred market, which is good drivers, homeowners, and then we have the business insurance. So we protect businesses in Napa. We are honored to have a lot of clients in Napa that we protect.
Okay, great. So the cliche is tech startups, you know, launched in a garage. And for insurance, you guys launched in a closet,
yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder.
That's right.
And so did you always know that you were going to follow dad's footsteps into insurance?
No, it was the opposite, actually. I was like, that's not my business. That's not the kind of business I want to get into. And, you know, just probably because I saw how hard my dad had to work and really make it in the industry. I'm like, man, that's hard. Why do I want to do that? You know, but working with my dad has been a great experience. You know, often you hear, don't work with family. But with me, it's great to work with family. See him every day, and we have my cousin that works there. I've been mentoring her, and she's doing well. And my nephew also works there, so it's a real family business.
That's great. You know, the funny thing is, my dad was a real estate broker in Santa Rosa, and very successful. Had multiple offices and like 22 agents and things of that nature. And he said, "You should get into real estate." So what does a 17, 18-year-old kid do to that? No, I'm good, Dad. No, I got this. So it wasn't until 6 years ago that I finally accepted his advice, even though he passed in 95. So, and I'm absolutely loving it. It's such a different business than the corporate world, because the corporate world is, for lack of a better word, corporate, and just kind of, there's just a lacking of the personal touch that I so enjoy in real estate now. So, so Bernie, what are some of the biggest challenges in your industry that you're facing on a day-to-day basis?
So currently, as a result of the devastating fires, insurance companies are kind of stepping back from certain areas. So you have what we call protection classes. And that's a simple way to measure the risk of where the home is located, the property is located. So the closer you are to the hills and trees and brush, the higher the class. That means that's in a risk, more of a risk area. and a lot of companies would decline coverage. But as an independent agent, I was able to partner with companies that have stepped up and said, we will find coverage. We'll cover those homes, where others have stepped down, and even one has gone belly up because they've had to pay too much claims.
Wow. So, yeah, you're saying stepped back, but just to be very, very transparent and obvious, this is property that the insurance companies just say, nope, we're not going to insure that.
Well, what's going on is first they put moratorium on it. I mean, if they offered, if you have a policy, they'll cover the coverage, you know.
As right. A moratorium on new policies. Yeah.
So they do that first is to prevent somebody from writing a policy as the fire is going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Second is for them to analyze the numbers and making sure they can write business, because they're a business. They have to stay solvent. They have to be able to pay claims and also respond to their reinsurers,
right,
which is insurance for insurance companies.
Right.
Right. So then they say, okay, we can continue, or we have to wait until we pay claims and grow that fund a little bit more, because they still have to be responsible with the current policyholders. So if something happens, they can pay out the claims.
Right.
So after member term is lifted, then it's, is this something we want to continue to do? I have one company that I've paid over $1 billion in claims, and they're still solvent and going strong.
Wow.
So the one that went belly up, I didn't work with that company. So I'm very picky with the companies I work with.
And talk a little about the independence, I mean, because you're not a State Farm, a Farmers, and Allstate, the big, you know, those brokers, that's what they sell, is their company offerings. And as an independent, you're able to seek out different policy carriers and different types of coverage and all the variables that go with it, so you can customize things. Is that a good way to explain that?
Well, there's a lot of companies that work directly with independent agents, so they don't do a lot of advertising. So you may not know some of these companies because they allow the independent agent do their own advertising for their agency. When you come in, we have a conversation, figure out what your needs are, and then I match you with the company that I work with. And, you know, we kind of match it so you don't have to worry about, okay, am I in the right place and with the right company? We do that for you.
Okay. So that's the challenges of the industry. What are some of the challenges that you see of business owners, since you write commercial insurance as well as home and auto? What are some of those challenges that local business owners are facing in regards to insurance?
So insurance also kind of follows a lot of regulations, especially at different governmental levels. You know, truckers have to follow very specific regulations, landscapers too. You know, if you're a contractor, you have to have a surety bond. You have to have a contractor's license with the state. If you're doing 500 or more contract jobs, if you have employees, you have to have workers.
$500. So if you're dollars doing a, or 500.
If you're doing a
jobs.
Job, if you're doing a job for $500 or more,
okay,
you're required to have a license,
right,
as a contractor. So then with that, you know, you have to have your bond. You have to go through the application process. And I kind of fell into that role of guiding new businesses, so employees that are ready to start their business, specifically in the Hispanic market, because, you know, most of the day I'm speaking Spanish with my clients, and they're ready to start their own business, but they don't know where to go. So, you know, I use, places like the Napa County Hispanic Chamber, Napa Chamber, other areas where I'm not the expert, so I refer out. I refer out other professionals, local attorneys, local accountants. So, you know, I like to network. And that way I know when I send a client out, it's with a trusted individual.
Right.
But I fell into a world other than insurance is to get them started, because once they start, they'll need insurance. And if I develop that relationship, it's most likely to last a long time.
Right. So Bernie and I also know each other because we're part of the same business referral group. So if you are a business out there and you think, you know, I could use some referrals myself, you can email me about that too. It's called NapaBusinessAdvantage.com. And we're a group of, I think we got about 15 members right now, but we just had our meeting yesterday. We had 4 new guests, so we might be getting some more from there too. So it's a great way to grow your business, because it's not necessarily advertising. It's just getting to know people on a personal basis, learning to trust them from an integrity and character standpoint, which gives you more confidence to refer them. Obviously, we need to know that they are competent. They can be a wonderful person and high integrity and character, but if they can't do the service that they're purporting to do, then no bueno. They're not going to be in the group. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's a great way to support local business as well.
Yeah, yeah. I guess most of our members are local owned, and that's probably worth mentioning as well, that it's locally owned doesn't necessarily mean that it can't be a franchise.
Right. Yeah, I think people kind of look at those national brands and say, well, you know, this is not going, the funds are going to, you know, our community, but it's not necessarily the truth.
Right.
Right. Franchise is a local owner.
Yeah.
Your neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, Bernie, I greatly appreciate you being here today. And just so that our listeners know, Bernie and I are kind of, he's our anchor sponsor, and you're going to hear his commercial here in just a second. But he's going to be a regular guest, and he'll have a couple of interviews a month. We started today just giving you a background on Bernie and his business, but in future discussions, we'll be talking more generically outside of just the insurance business. We're not going to have him come on and talk for 15 minutes about insurance every single.
We'll keep it fresh.
Right, yeah. But Bernie and I are both big supporters of supporting local business. So with that, we will be right back after this commercial from Bernie.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
I'm Nate Campbell, and another report from The Vine Files, stories we are following from around the wine country, and in focus at Wind Down Media, music in our schools. The Napa High School Instrumental Music Boosters are The Vine's Bob St. Laurent sat down with Mike Rendell, music director at Napa High.
10 years been at Napa High School, seen a lot of good stuff happening over there. This year we've got students at Davis that are in line to be the conductor, the student leader of that band. We've got kids at Berkeley that are the student leaders for their sections. We have got students down in Northern Arizona that are music majors as well. So it's just every year it gets better and better. It's just great to see him go.
Randall's just the fourth person to serve as Napa High Music Director in its over 100-year history and brings experience and passion to his role each and every day.
They want to do music. They enjoy it. They love it. It's the balance. It's that art part of their life that makes their lives complete. It's a 360 of everything. So it's really great to see them keep going.
And as with music in schools everywhere, it's a struggle to keep the programs going.
It is not easy at all. We need funding, and that's, we need the community support, the community help, so that I can say, yeah, when they come up and ask me, can we do this? Can we do that? The funding needs to be there for me to do it. We have to pay all of our own transportation bills. We get very little funding from the state and the federal government these days for arts and arts programs like that. So everything we can do to help this community, we've done.
I'm Nate Campbell for this story and more. Keep it right here on our local audio platforms.
Great. Welcome back to All Things Napa. I'm Lee W. Miller. You can reach me at leewmiller@gmail.com. We're talking business here, and we're talking about ways that we can support local business owners and their owners. Sometimes the conversation may lead to maybe even me offering them some advice. Since I did climb the corporate ladder and have 32 years of business experience in corporate, startup, and entrepreneurial endeavors, whether they want the advice or not, I might be offering it. It's you know, whatever they want to do with that is fine. But our primary objective here is to provide a platform for local businesses to communicate who they are, what they're about, and encourage residents here to prioritize giving their dollars to locally owned businesses. And it's time now, since I am a full-time realtor that does this radio show on the side, as the kids say, is my side hustle, it's time for our listing of the week. And there's a hot new listing that just came on the market less than 24 hours ago. It's only a block from Alston Park, with the hiking trails in North Napa. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath home. It's move-in ready. Don't miss this spacious 2,050 square feet home. Open living space downstairs, including a private yard with a room for a pool. That means it doesn't have a pool, so, but it's got room for one. Imagine yourself sitting by the fireplace in the great room, or enjoy time with the family while cooking in the open kitchen and sit at the breakfast bar. It's got RV boat storage alongside the house and a two-car garage with room for storage. And you might be wondering, what is the asking price for this home? It is $780,000. That's only $380 a foot, and that's a pretty good price in Napa. If you've got questions about this house, it is going to be open on Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 3. Reach out to me. This is an opportunity for you to even see the house prior to it being open on Saturday and Sunday. LeeWMiller@gmail.com. All right, it's time to move on to our next interview. And this next interview, I'm not going to reveal who it is right away. We're just going to kind of ease into that very slowly. And our guest, you will soon find out, based on her voice, is a female. So much for the surprise there, huh? If we were really fancy, we'd have like a disguised voice and you'd come across talking all funny or whatever. So, I almost said her name. So let's try and create a little visual here. I noticed that tattoo on your arm. It's subtle. It's dainty. Very tasteful. Tell us what that design is all about. What does that design mean?
Well, good morning. Maybe some of you will be able to recognize who I am by my description of this tattoo, perhaps.
Or maybe just based on your voice, they'll know.
So my tattoo, this is something that's sort of hidden on my forearm, on the underside of my forearm, that people would only see, I suppose, if I'm fussing with my hair or cooking, perhaps. It might get a little play. But I'm not big on tattoos, but I always like that they can be symbolic of something and meaningful. So when I had an idea for 2 or 3 different tattoos that I wanted, but didn't really like the idea of putting 2 or 3 different tattoos all over my body, I thought, what's a way that I could combine all of them and get all the visuals and symbolism in one tattoo? So I have a tattoo with 3 different parts here. The first is the head of an arrow. And that was important to me because it's sort of the symbol of having to move to go backwards in life before you can go forward. And there's all sorts of little quirky sayings out there, you know, about having to struggle before you can succeed and how, you know, the harder, the more difficult and painful things you go through, the stronger you become in life and blah, blah, blah. And so while I know we all have our different stories and different experiences that lead us to become who we are, I think I've dealt with my fair share of struggles and things that have made me who I am today. So I'm kind of proud to represent with that arrow saying, yep, I've gone backwards, so now I can go forwards, and I'll probably go backwards again several times before I can continue to launch forward. So in the middle of my arrow, there is a semicolon. And for those of you who don't know, it's not just because I'm a grammar nerd that I decided to get a semicolon tattooed on me. Project Semicolon was started in 2013 as a symbol for mental health awareness and suicide prevention. So it's sort of my way of saying, one, I've dealt with my own struggles with mental health, and my way of also saying to others, without perhaps saying it out loud, saying, you know, I'm here for you, and I'm here to listen without judgment, and that you're not alone. So for anyone perhaps struggling with those things in their personal life, maybe they'll see that and know that they have someone on their side. And then the last part of the tattoo, which sort of makes up the bottom half of the arrow, is a fork. So, you know, obviously we all have to eat to live, but I like to live to eat. And my career sort of revolves around all things culinary. And so this fork has a lot of meaning going back from, you know, to my childhood, to some of my earliest and most fond memories of cooking with my grandmother and with my mother, and the launching into my career, which started, well, from the very beginning, my first job ever in the food industry, and has kind of gone from there and into the career that I have now. So, and actually leads to the name of my company. I don't know if I'm able to reveal.
Are we ready for the big reveal? Go ahead and reveal the name.
So my company is Rooted Fork, and the name of this company comes from the idea of, obviously, again, the love of food and all things culinary. But I chose Rooted because of the, again, the symbolism of wanting to be rooted in the community, being a local business, supporting other local businesses, supporting local nonprofits, kind of being involved in any way, shape, or form that I can in rooting myself here in Napa Valley and supporting those around me and having those support my business in turn. So
it can't get any more perfect than that as far as our show and everything what we're trying to do here. That's just absolutely spot on.
So I suppose I should tell people my name, perhaps, if you haven't figured it out by now.
Yeah.
So my name is Michaela Miller, and I am the founder of Rooted Fork. And Rooted Fork has two parts to it, if I can sort of give you... there's a joke in my family that people don't really know what I do. So they go, well, yeah, we know you got that Rooted Fork thing. What do you do exactly? Like, what's your day look like? So Rooted Fork has two parts. The part that most people know about is Rooted Fork Foodie Tours. And that is a walking food tour company in Napa Valley. This was a company I started a few years back that was a way to, again, support local businesses and local restaurants, and a way for me to utilize some of these wonderful connections I've made with local business owners and restaurants in Napa Valley and showcase their businesses to my guests, and offer visitors in the Napa Valley an experience and a chance to explore downtown Napa. So for those of you who've been in Napa a long time, you know there's been a big shift in the downtown Napa restaurant scene, and it's really just exploded over the past few years. When I moved here 10 years ago, it was not much to be desired, but it's really grown, and it kind of just hit me. You know, when I go visit places around the country or go travel, I love to do food tours. It's my first thing I usually do when I get into town somewhere new, because not only do I get a taste of all these different restaurants, I get someone to explain a little bit about the history. I kind of get my bearings of the town or the city where I am. I get a little bit of a feel for, oh, okay, this is the area I'm in now, I'm exploring. I usually learn a little bit about the architecture and the history and why these restaurants have helped to shape the city that I'm visiting. So I wanted to create that same experience for people coming to Napa Valley. I wanted them to get their bearings in the valley, you know, orient themselves with First Street and Main Street and Oxbow and all the wonderful things we have to offer, and then get a little taste of a signature bite from each of the restaurants that we visit, so that they can leave them wanting more and come back for more. So on a food tour, we typically visit 7 or 8 different locations. We do a food pairing, a drink pairing, and give the guests a lot of history and information about how Napa got its name and where, you know, how a lot of the local restaurants have sort of helped to establish the downtown Napa scene that it is now. So lots of cool stories that we try to incorporate into those tours. And again, the whole idea is to bring people into these businesses that are maybe off the beaten path or somebody might not normally walk into, and to give them a little bite and have them want to come back for more.
Yeah, it's like a nice kind of a eating commercial for them, so they know where they want to have their next full meal because they're just getting a little bite.
Exactly.
So let's back up just a little bit before you talk about the other aspects of Rooted Fork. How did you end up here in Napa? And I mean, didn't you originally want to be a film director?
Now, only someone who knows me really well would know that, because it hasn't been since I was about age 16 or 17 that I had
it
that
was,
dream.
It was 17. And if you haven't figured it out yet, listeners, Michaela is my middle child and one of my two daughters.
So, yes,
we went on a college tour investigating different curriculums and schools that offered film directing, whatever it was called.
And as my father and your radio host mentioned earlier, he has lots of business acumen that he likes to share, whether people want it or not. So as a 17-year-old girl, I can't say that I was particularly wanting his advice. However, he did point out to me that a degree in something so specific like film direction would really only leave me with a choice of career in film direction. So rather than get my degree in film, I got my degree in something much more specific and got a degree in wine business.
Well, there goes the answer to how you ended up in Napa.
So my college career took a few twists and turns, and I actually decided to go to a community college before going to a four-year university, which I have to say I highly recommend to any young listeners out there, as it gave me an opportunity to really figure out what I wanted to do in life, because being set up at you know, 17, 18 years old and being launched off to a four-year university, how does anybody know what they want to do with their life? So gave me some chance to take lots of different classes in lots of different areas and, you know, have some actual work experience. I worked nearly full-time all through college, and that was a great experience as well for me to explore a lot of different things. So during my time in community college, I also went to 5 different community colleges before transferring to a four-year university, because why not?
Is that some kind of record?
all the credits transferred. It was my chance to actually travel up and down California and give things a whirl. So while I was living in Berkeley, working as a server at a restaurant, it was a restaurant that hadn't quite opened yet. It was believe the Adagio House, and it's an old Westminster house in Berkeley, if anybody knows the area. I think it has a different name now. There was a restaurant consultant coming in who was helping set up the restaurant, and he had opened restaurants all across the country, had a famed reputation, and I went to him and said, I don't really want to be a server. Can I come work in the kitchen with you? And he said, you're not going to make any tips. You're going to make minimum wage, and you should probably drop out of school. So I did. And I took a semester off and got to work with Lawrence Jossel, who, if some of you are city dwellers and go to San Francisco often, if you're familiar with the restaurant Nopa or Nopalito, he didn't own those at the time, but he after finishing his restaurant consulting career, ended up opening his own restaurants, which are both wildly successful, probably because he opened everybody else's restaurants and learned all the kinks and things not to do before opening his own. So he had me come back into the kitchen with him and do a lot of grunt work. I used to have to pit 10-gallon buckets of Kalamata olives by hand.
Cool.
I still don't eat them to this day. So lots of experiences, very hands-on. And then when we would have downtime, he would take me aside and show me how to break down a whole tuna. Actually, something Morimoto just did on stage at Bottle Rock this year. So I
set a Guinness record for doing that.
Exactly. So I got a lot of literally hands-on experiences that really led me down the path of wanting a career in food. And I ended up working as a sous chef down in Pismo Beach while back in school. And that's when I realized I don't think I'm cut out to be a chef and have all the more respect for chefs these days after having worked my little stint in back of house restaurant. And I realized I wanted a little bit more flexibility to, you know, have a family and be able to see my family on weekends and holidays and evenings and things like that. So I thought, well, what better way to incorporate a culinary career than by getting a degree in wine? And then I can have a wine and food sort of career. I had this vision of something that I wanted to create, and so I went for it. I transferred to Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and got my degree in wine and viticulture with my concentration in wine business, and that was, I believe we were the first or second official graduating class. My whole class hadn't even been there 4 years. We were all transfers at that point, so brand new major at Cal Poly.
And what year was that?
What year was that? Was that 2008 I graduated?
Okay.
So, unfortunately, not a great time in the economy to graduate college. Yeah.
I remember it well.
Yeah. So, long story short, that's long, is graduated at a really difficult time in the economy, so I decided to move abroad. I got a scholarship to go study a little bit further in Switzerland and then live in London for a few months, working again in the restaurant industry, and wanted to come back and live in California. Again, the economy was tanked, so I lasted only a couple months making $10 an hour in San Francisco and thought, you know what, why don't I move to wine country? And I did, and I had this idea that I would move to a different wine region every 6 months. I would start in Napa, and then I would move up to Willamette Valley, and then I would go to Walla Walla. And that was about 10 years ago, and I've been here since, never quite made it out of Napa Valley.
Well, Napa Valley is fortunate that you haven't left. And let me just quickly go back to the conversation about film direction, because I remember that well, and I'm so glad that you shared that, because I've always had a little bit of, fear of guilt that I derailed your, you could have been, you know, the greatest film director of all time. And as a father who loves you and cares for you and wants the best for you, part of that was wanting you to be maybe a little more conservative in your dreams. And so I apologize, but it's worked out so well, not necessarily because you followed my advice, just because you've made it on your own and you've done something incredibly unique. And so you came to Napa Valley, you worked for a couple of different wineries, you started doing wine club and DTC sales and kind of ran various aspects of the wineries, and that included a lot of the events that, hey, this girl's good at putting on our events. And so take us from there to going out on your own.
Maybe they said maybe she's actually a good director. Maybe not of film, but maybe of events. So my career started at Round Pond Estate in 2009 when I moved up to Napa Valley, and I was with them for several years when they were a young, brand new winery, and helped grow their programs, a lot of different programs that they had. And it sort of, again, had a lot of event-centric things about it in that winery. I had a great mentor at Round Pond, Colleen Dre, who was a very event-savvy woman and a great boss that sort of mentored me through my first years here up in Napa. So when I was ready to leave working for a winery, I went to some of my winery clients and said, why don't you just keep me on to help with your event programs? And at the time, I was actually doing a little bit of social media and marketing, which I don't do so much of anymore. And I just kind of took a leap and became an independent contractor once I found out what that meant and that I could work for multiple different people and kind of be my own boss. So started that in 2012. And at the end of 2012, I was introduced to the original founders of Bottle Rock, Napa Valley. And I remember actually sitting down with them and them showing me a perspective lineup and saying, you know, we're gonna do this really big thing in Napa. And do you want to be a part of it? So I got my feet with some small events, winery events, and then all of a sudden went to a rock and roll concert. So again, there were some difficulties the first year for those locals who know how the first Bottle Rock went. But I am proud to say I've been a part of the organization since then as well, since the new ownership has come in and really revamped that to be one of our biggest and most successful events in the Valley. So the events that I've been fortunate to take part in, Bottle Rock, I the first year did the wine program, the restaurant program, and some of their after parties, which was way too much for one person to handle. And since then, I did 4 years as their wine director and then have transferred over back to the culinary side of things. So I help manage the restaurant program. So anywhere that you see food at Bottle Rock, I probably had some part in that.
So as wine director, did that mean that if a winery wanted to pour and have a tent at Bottle Rock, they had to go through you?
Yep. Yeah. The first few years, yeah.
And now there's probably a waiting list and there's, you know, it's easy. Talk about how that first, so we're going to have this gig and there's going to be a bunch of people and these are the, you know, was it difficult to get wineries to say, yeah, I'll do that, sight unseen?
You know, it was getting people to believe in a vision that had never been done before, that was particularly a big thing to pull off in small Napa Valley. Everybody's familiar with some of the larger music festivals, Lollapalooza and Coachella and things like that. But to get people to understand that this was going to happen in their backyard at their little local fairgrounds, you know, where everybody had been going to crab feeds for the local high school for years, it didn't quite translate. Yeah. So it was getting people to take a big leap of faith and to try something out. And obviously the program has been very refined over the years and changed, but, we had a lot of, you know, early supporters, Minor Family Winery, for instance, St. Supery, you know, some of these partners that came on and just said, yeah, let's do this. Let's give it a try. And the first year did also have a little bit of a nonprofit component that's not a part of it anymore. And so that was a part of it as well, is just getting some people on board and trying to make something big happen. And to all of, you know, those wineries and restaurants and all the staff and everybody who gave it a go that first year, you know, we wouldn't, the event wouldn't be where it is today without those early believers. So
absolutely. If you're just joining us, I'm Lee W. Miller, and this is All Things Napa, and we're talking with our guest, the wonderful, the beautiful Michaela Miller, who was also my daughter, and she is the owner of Rooted Fork Events and Rooted Fork Foodie Tours, talking about her business. What are some of the other events that you are in charge of, or however you want to say? Because I guess you are in charge, even though you're an independent, you're not employed by these organizations. They really rely on you to put on their events.
Yeah, I like to think I play a, you know, fairly important component of some of these. So as I mentioned, I do the restaurant culinary program for Bottle Rock and the spa. For those of you that have been there, if you ever see the spa, I help put that together.
That was even your idea, right?
No, I can't take.
Oh, well, shoot, I told everybody that.
So. And there's my dad running around Napa telling people things. I'm also involved in the Napa Valley Film Festival, so I've been with them since the second year of their festival as well. I was the operations manager for years, working on alongside the operations director, Ben Mahoney, and now I took a smaller role so that I could get my hands in some other things, and I produce their gala, so the big party on Saturday night following the awards ceremony. So that's going to be coming up in November this year, and I won't give away any spoilers, but it's going to be a really, really fun year with some great music, great food and wine, as always. But it's one of the big parties I look forward to. So just a little party for 1,800 people out the CIA at Copia.
It is such a great time. And it's just even not as your dad, but someone that goes to that with eyes wide open in amazement at how the venue has been transformed into this gala. Such a cool thing. So I'm so proud of you.
Wait till you see it this year.
Oh, it's going to be even better.
And I also work with Appalachian St. Helena, obviously an organization up in St. Helena, but a collective of different wineries who are members up there. I produce a trade event for them during Premier Napa Valley Week, and then I also do Bash, which is an event that we host at the Culinary Institute Greystone, and it's a chance for the students of Greystone to actually come and cook, and they prepare small bites to pair with one of the Appalachian St. Helena wineries, and then all of the attendees at the event vote for their favorite pairing. So that's a really fun one. It's the first chance that the students have to sort of cook in a competitive setting, where, you know, they have to have their food hot and ready and servable at a certain time.
And the presentation of it has to be perfect. And they're doing this kind of behind the scenes in advance, but then that final presentation right in front of people who are standing there with a glass of wine waiting for their bite.
Yeah.
And that is such a fun event. I mean, it only lasts 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it goes by really fast, but you get so much really good food. And when I'm there, it's always fun to, well, I would never order this because I don't know if I like it, but now I get a chance to taste something and it's like, okay, nope, that's not my cup of tea, but
I get to do that at all my events. Everywhere there's a food component, and even on the food tour, I love to get people to get outside of their comfort zone a little bit. So that's always fun. And then a handful of other little events that I get to help out with. Campo Velo is a local food, wine, and cycling event. It's kind of a summer camp for adults who love cycling, food, and wine. So that takes place in April every year. And I'm also going to be working on a fundraiser event this year for Teens Connect, which I'm really excited about. Jenny Olson has an amazing organization, and I was fortunate enough to volunteer to help out last year and felt so compelled that I said, let me help you with this. I want to make it bigger and better and raise more money. So really excited about that. That's going to be in December this year. I'll let her announce the date formally. But Teens Connect, again, great organization, and goes back to my tattoo, to bring it full circle. But mental health awareness, this organization, I won't speak to it as if I know everything, but I love what they're doing for young people because it is an opportunity for that age where everything is so confusing and, you know, trying to understand your mental health and be able to talk to people and feel normal. I'm using air quotes. I remember just feeling so confused at that age and wished I had had a group like this that was just understanding and open. And these teens are doing great things to help one another. And then the organization is doing, you know, great things to help these teens. And they do trips around the country. I believe they went to South America twice this year to do you know, provide shoes. They do so many wonderful things, and I was very moved and wanted to get involved with them somehow. So that's going to be my first time working on that event this fall. Yeah, lots of other things. Pretty much anything I can get my hands on. I helped out with a COPE event this year, so lots of nonprofit organizations that are really near and dear to my heart that I like to get involved with.
Wonderful. So we only have a few minutes left. I'm going to ask you two questions, and you can answer either one of them. What are the biggest challenges in your industry and or your company that you're currently facing? Or what are the 5-year goals for your business?
Well, real quick on the challenges, I would say on bigger picture challenges, I feel that, you know, Napa Valley experiences some challenges when it comes to the cost of things. So the cost of living, therefore the cost of staff being able to live in the valley to staff the restaurants that then host our food tours. So I see firsthand a lot of the struggles that a lot of the restaurants are having with keeping their restaurants staffed, and then that's going to affect what I'm able to do. So if I am trying to bring a food tour in and bring these guests in, and the restaurant can't stay staffed as they'd like to, they aren't able to offer the experience that they want to be offering. So there's a constant struggle there that it's all kind of symbiotic, the relationship, you know, we're all connected in that struggle. And then, you know, the cost for tourists to come here, there's a really high cost when you come to visit Napa Valley if you want to get a hotel room. So it really inhibits maybe some of, you know, the tourism on all levels. If you have a lot of money, it's very easy to come to Napa Valley as a tourist. But if you are sort of maybe middle class, it's harder. We've got restrictions on Airbnbs, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, costs would be the best way I could explain challenges.
Yes, yes, we are faced with that all the time. And speaking of time, that's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us on All Things Napa. And we'll talk to you next week.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.